from your home of in-depth hot dog bun water talk and maybe some sports, live from Studio B. This is you from the bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, guy.
Yeah. It's that midsummer, nothing going on at all, and it's tough.
You can hear the lull in my voice.
We're going to talk real slow.
The words per minute of this show might be the least that I have pulled off.
It's always tough in summer.
I'm a talker, but this is a tough one. No.
We talk about your Brewers?
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, so there's that. There's 15 minutes at least.
I mean, every time we pretend like we're not going to talk the NFL, we end up talking for 10 good minutes about nothing. We've talked about about nothing for 10 minutes many, many, many times.
True.
It's kind of what we do.
You want to talk NFL? There's a couple things.
Well, why don't we start there? Because the ones that I've got, the two things that I'll talk about will take up all the time because I get super excited. So you tell me, because I read that this is the last month before we have NFL, right? Like there is, if I'm not mistaken,
preseasonal start August.
The Hall of Fame game starts in
soon.
Yeah, so we're right on track.
It's like the C team.
Whatever. You know,
it's football.
I was just about to say.
I'll watch it.
You would right now. If there was a game right now.
Oh, I got an NFL network, so I can watch replay of every game.
If there was some JV game, practice squad game between the Vikings and Packers, you'd watch it right now. I would too. I would absolutely. No, the NFL's. Yet again, we're doing it for them. There's nothing going on in the NFL, but we will talk and cover. What do you got? What happened in your NFL this week?
Two things, and it's both the Commanders.
Huh.
So the Native American tribe that wanted the Redskin logo, the Commanders.
Sure, yeah.
They said, in lieu of everything going on in the world today, they're up for maybe changing it back.
From Commanders back to Redskins?
Because they're thinking that maybe now it would be a great time to reinvigorate. The chief that was on the helmet.
Uh-huh.
That they want to make him the focus again and focus on Native American stuff.
History. Oh, you know, that's...
With everything else going on in the world?
Sure. I mean, I don't know.
It was one article from someplace that was kind of legitimate. So
that part of this.
It wasn't just an internet story.
It was a real print,
like
media
Washington Post
story.
Or something to that effect.
Huh? Because I remember, and I fall on the side of if it offends some people, you should. Why not change the name? And they did a really good job of making a ton of money off changing the name, and they changed it for what I felt were the correct reasons. And we're talking 10 years ago, because they went with the Washington football team for a couple of years because they couldn't settle on a name after the Redskins. I had not read that. That's very, very culturally interesting to me because I always thought that there was a support amongst the Native American population to get rid of names like Redskins, to get rid of the tomahawk chop in... Florida State Seminoles, get rid of Chief Wahoo for the Cleveland Indians. I thought that was sort of the move we were kind of making towards,
And also looking at all the little... because of that statement, there's now little different things here saying, and it's not going to happen because the new owner, Josh Harris, is very aware and keen about, you know, what other people feel. The article I read was one person. From the Native American.
Gotcha. Okay, so, no, that I can roll with because I always thought there was a general consensus. But
I think
the consensus is it doesn't really bother us. Then
right.
Hey, man.
But that was one. You know, it was kind of a predominant.
Sure.
Official in that.
In that community. Okay.
Yeah. So
interesting.
With the Commanders too.
Sure.
They're going back to their Super Bowl era uniforms.
Really.
Back to when they were winning.
Yeah, the dark red with the
stripe and the yellow stripe down the middle. Yeah.
It's super strange to me because that goes along with that was the Redskins to me. I remember those Redskins teams from the 80s and early 90s with the John Riggs, with the offensive linemen.
Yep.
They did with the Hogs. That's very interesting that they would want to go back to the look, but not necessarily the name.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's
there represents winning for them.
Sure.
Which does.
That does make a little bit of sense.
They went to Super Bowl. I mean,
quite honestly, representing winning, they've done all they needed to do when they got rid of Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
He represented losing on the highest level as an NFL owner, and now that he's gone, not surprisingly, the funk has lifted off of that franchise again.
Third thing. I didn't know that Eli Manning.
Sure.
He was in to bid for actually being part owner of the Giants. He has now pulled out of that bidding. I didn't even know he was in there.
It's, you know,
I'm sure a lot of these teams, it's like, was it Timberwolves?
Well, Magic Johnson had, Magic Johnson was a part owner of the Lakers for quite a while until they became an embarrassing franchise and he dipped. But yeah, Alex Rodriguez is a part owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep.
I didn't know that Eli Manning had made Peyton Manning money. Like, I didn't know that he had made
the reason
team
why
ownership.
He says it's staying here, the reason why he's pulling out of the bid is it's too expensive for me.
No, I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean these franchises are now being sold for
billions.
$6 billion. I remember when Mark Cuban bought the Mavericks for a single $1 billion, and it was outrageous. Daniel Snyder paid $1 billion for the then Washington Redskins. You're now hitting a spot where Steve Ballmer is paying billions of dollars for the Clippers. So to be even a 1% owner of a franchise worth $6 billion, you have to have real, real money.
Yeah, they're saying in September the valuation of the Giants was $7.85 billion, probably after all the rights for all the broadcasting rights and all that stuff.
Sure.
It'll probably go up.
It's interesting because they don't own their stadium. They're one of those teams that they split a stadium with the Jets, right? Like are they both in East Rutherford? Are they both New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't own – some of these places are worth a lot because of the they own the stadium. You own the rights to the seats.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I have no idea how one values NFL franchise. Like, I don't know how you can even put a value. I know what I can put a value of my car, my house.
Ticket sales. I mean, even if you rent the stadium, after that's taken out, you know, sales, ticket sales.
Sure.
Media. Merchandise.
Yeah, merchandise. Okay.
Merchandise is huge.
I mean,
you know, bet you top five is going to be Jefferson's in there.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Probably JJ
McCarthy. And I mean, if you're the Giants, your franchise is worth more because you simply reach a larger audience than your local audience for the Green Bay Packers is about 100,000 people locally.
Yeah.
You know, your area for the Vikings is 3 million people. There's quite a few amount of millions of people in the Twin Cities area. New York City is 10 times that size.
Right. But you also, you're fans of either the Jets, Buffalo, or the Giants, you know.
Seems about every time a franchise gets sold, I feel like all the billionaires get together, get all wide-eyed, be like, now's our chance to cash it in. Because the Mara family that owned the Giants, you could look up the price they paid and how long ago they've owned the New York Giants for going on 40 years.
Sure.
This was a franchise that was bought, I'd assume, when franchises were... This is when they bought this franchise, the NFL wasn't...
The NFL.
The NFL that it is today.
Right.
It was a second-tier league. You were getting... You didn't have live Sunday night games. You didn't have Thursday games. You didn't have... Monday night games weren't even live sometimes. The amount of billions of dollars that the NFL was worth wasn't there yet. So the fact that... You know, like the Lakers were just sold, a couple weeks ago. The Lakers were sold by the Buss family, and they had bought it in the 80s for a couple million, and now it was worth $4 billion. It's an amazing return on your investment to buy a pro franchise. So I'd assume it's not a lot different for the New York Giants. They've probably been owned by that family since the 70s.
Yeah.
And I bet they bought that franchise for like $1 million. So, yeah, they're going to clear pretty well. Everyone in that family will do just fine to have sold that. Are you looking up the
valuation of the teams?
Sure. What's the highest ranked on your list?
Dallas.
Is it still the Cowboys?
Valuation of $11 billion.
Wow. And that's amazing. That is, you know,
it's just Jerry Jones.
Yes, that's the amazing thing about
the debt as percentage of the value. He's only at 3% debt.
Yeah. No, he's the, I mean, you said it. Anybody who wants to do some quick business math on Jerry Jones is the single owner of an $11 billion franchise where his, where that he started from scratch, that he bought from I don't know who owned the Cowboys before, but this was, he's gone on the 80s. We're talking a 50-year owner at this point.
At this point.
That's amazing. So as much
So number two is LA Rams at a valuation of $8 billion. By Stanley Kroenke.
Stanley
Kroenke. Debt as a percentage of the value, he's at 44% debt.
Wow. So you're really that's an old school owner. That's an owner running it as a loss because he wants to be the owner. You want to own some stuff.
You want to be your Packers?
I'm actually curious in the NFL pantheon, where does the Green Bay Packers rank?
12th right now. $6.3 billion.
Remarkable for in such a small area.
2.2% debt.
Huh. So they're doing it the right way too.
Yeah.
Who is the, what is the least valuable franchise in all of the NFL then?
Guess.
Don't
say LA or don't say Las Vegas either because that's not even going to be close.
No, I'm sure Vegas is doing, I was going to say Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
Tennessee? Is Tennessee Titans worth less
Cincinnati
than that?
Bengals.
Interesting. I suppose they don't have a brand new stadium. They don't have a really awesome market.
Here's the going the worst up. So Cincinnati is the worst. Arizona, Buffalo Bills, Detroit Lions, New Orleans Saints.
That's interesting because those are some
Jacksonville, your good Tennessee, Jacksonville right there.
Interesting that a few of those are really well-run franchises. You would have think there'd be more of a connection between being a worthless franchise and not being a good owner too, but apparently there isn't much of a connection because the Bills have
It's all about the business.
The Bills have been consistently good for
also Detroit,
10 years.
Detroit being at number 29, you expect it's Detroit.
That's true. Detroit has, as much as they've made a bit of a comeback in economically over the last few years, they're still...
Yeah, it's still Detroit.
I'd assume scraping near the bottom of the... You know, per capitas for the NFL.
I mean, you got to understand. Let's see what it say. Their revenue is $546 million only in revenue.
Is it? Man.
Well, compared to Dallas Cowboys, and number one is $1.22 billion.
That's amazing.
Revenue.
I mean, they talk about
revenue.
that's jersey sales. That's
That's everything.
A lot of that's a concess- lot of
that's his that's a state. Fairly new stadium. He's still at 3% debt only.
Wow. So he
That's how much money he has.
I was just... Yeah, that makes him a very, very... I wonder who the wealthiest owner in football would be then.
Him.
Him. Is that just naturally if he's the single owner of an $11 billion franchise with no debt? Yeah. Way to... I've never said this in my life. Way to go, Jerry Jones.
Never say it again either.
I will never want to think that again because he's kind of a squirrely little...
Let him just keep on doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Let him be owner and GM.
That's why he does not care what others think, because he can always, in a room full of billionaires, in a 30 NFL owners, really is the best.
My team's worth the most.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Me, by myself. I did this.
At some point.
I did this. I'd assume he does.
Chad Clampett.
He's got a little bit of South to him. He's from the Arkansas.
Going off the rails.
Facts.
I mean... Yeah, but at some point you want to win. You know?
What this list tells you, that list tells you that every NFL owner has a different definition of winning.
Success.
Because if Jerry Jones can win the offseason every offseason by paying his players the most. Every year, the highest paid player in the league is a Dallas Cowboy. Somehow it's Dak Prescott's the highest paid quarterback, CeeDee Lamb's the best highest paid wide receiver.
No, not anymore.
Ezekiel Elliott, well, he was at the time. Ezekiel Elliott was paid as the highest paid running back.
Held out.
Micah Parsons will be the highest paid defensive player. So Jerry Jones is winning.
But he doesn't do it the right way.
I mean,
he waits.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He waits until the media cycle is all his. He waits till the only name in the sports league. How many times has ESPN SportsCenter led in the offseason with Jerry Jones talking some nonsense?
Other owner in the NFL is in the public like he is.
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah, he's done well.
After every game,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's on the radio.
It is amazing because he's also the owner of the radio station that he goes on after every
and he
game.
Got pissed off at them.
He gets super mad at his own employees.
Yeah.
I love that circle where like you wake up in the morning and you're the GM and owner of a team, and then you own the radio station that you go on to complain about the team, and then you get mad about the. It's awesome. That's why being a Cowboys fan would be hard. It'd be hard on your heart to have to ride those waves of.
I can't imagine being
year.
A coach. I'd be Mike McCarthy had to be like, "Yeah, I'm out. I can't do this anymore."
I'm guessing there's you sort of just accept it. We've all had bosses that we didn't love, and you know you're just like
yeah,
waiting.
But I didn't stay for 5 years.
No, not five. You're right. No, it's
I didn't stay
me
for
either,
you know
either.
If I didn't like it.
I like job hopping. I'm a big fan of finding
a
job.
No
that
I have no idea
what
you're talking about.
I like finding a job that I love, and now, well, yeah, you. But not all these no coaches idea. Are the same. Some of these coaches, right. You know, they work for guys that you know they don't like.
I mean,
respect.
the old school coaches, your Sean Paytons.
Sure.
You know, look how long it's taken Sean Payton. It took him what 3 years now, mm-hmm. and he's already. With Bo Nix,
it took
looking
him,
like he's gonna be a, he was a playoff team last
that
year.
That old
almost.
School coach hooked up with a new school owner, and yeah. it worked out really, really well for him.
Yeah,
which is why you're kind of assuming that the Cowboys won't work out because an old school owner like Jerry Jones,
that owner
hired an old school coach in a Marty Schottenheimer's kid of
yeah,
all
yeah,
things.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I said. Being the Cowboys is fun to make fun of.
He's passive.
It's super, super fun. But you probably need that if you're Jerry Jones. You need to work with a guy who will say yes to you because you're
right.
also the GM
right.
and the guy signing the checks. So if your coach isn't saying yes to you.
What's the best thing for the Dallas Cowboys to do to start winning consistently?
I mean, nothing. There's your answer.
Jerry Jones needs to fire the GM.
Well, that won't happen. That
no, it won't until he dies.
I was just going to say the most realistic thing. That, what you just said.
Heels over?
The most honestly thing will happen is, because he's always got a fallback. If you make a mistake as the GM, well, you just brush that one aside. The owner will just brush that aside. You make a mistake as the owner, the GM might lose respect for you, but it turns out they're the same person. It's a pretty sweet gig. So that's football, right? You got anything else?
Minnesota's playing the Patriots for their...
preseason opener?
They're practice squad. Practice.
Ooh, they're doing the
Patriots are going to come to Minnesota.
They're doing
I guess.
Those combined practices again.
They have been. They always have been.
Okay. Are they playing a? Is that part of a preseason game or are they just that's those live scrimmage?
Those are live scrimmages. So the Patriots are visiting. So a lot of interesting storylines on that one for me.
Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Stephon Diggs, former for a brief time Minnesota legend.
Oh yeah, 4 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah. Before he demanded trades all over the place, Stephon Diggs was one of the best wide receivers in football, and now he's playing for the Patriots. Joint practices are always that always leads to the inevitable really fun footage of guys yelling at each other with their helmet, like one guy in a helmet getting right. into a fight with somebody without a helmet. Inevitably, I like that level of and because you can't get out. In practice, what you need to a lot of times.
Right. You can't play real time.
Yep.
You know, they might not have pads on. They might have pads on. But yeah, they're real time of, you know, it's your buddy. If mm-hmm. you're Justin Jefferson and seeing, you know, Harrison
right.
Smith across the way,
yep.
You've been playing here for 4 years. You know what Harrison's going to do.
Right.
But you also don't want to hurt him.
There's a name to number 33. And for the Patriots, he's just a number. So 33 doesn't mean anything. Okay.
That's me. That's
when does
mine.
That kick off? You said training camps must be coming soon, right? Because if preseason games are less than 6 weeks away, and we're done with OTAs and we're done with all the free agency stuff, and rosters are essentially what they are. If you, whatever your favorite football team is, you could look around at your roster now, and you could all but guarantee, you could even start making your list. You could have your depth chart for basically every team. It doesn't look like there's anybody in the league that's really looking at needing to be traded, or there's nobody who's going to be moving teams at this point in the year. Like there isn't an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady waiting around.
August 5th, 6th, 7th, 12th, 14th.
All right. So we are
all
less
of August,
than a month
pretty much. Yeah.
For go time.
Yeah.
That's fine. You ever been when
yes.
at lacrosse, right? When
yes.
when the Saints
yes.
practiced at
I
lacrosse,
did.
That was so I liked getting down and watching for at UWL for a day. That was really, really fun.
I was working downtown lacrosse
Sure.
And obviously that team's in town for weeks. Yeah. I got to meet some people.
Fun. I went up to Leo and Leona's, and that was where Ditka used to hang out.
Met Ditka.
Yeah. I always wanted to meet Ditka.
Intimidating.
That was the thing, is when you're watching these practices and you're that close to seeing
they're
Pat Swilling, you're seeing Kevin Green.
Quick story. Yeah. I know we're trying to fill time, but I was just a DJ downtown. Jim Everett, when he was with the Saints.
Okay.
Him and his O-line came in to hang out.
You mean Chris Everett? Remember that with the Jim Rome? You remember that Jim Rome footage with Chris Everett or Jim Everett? If you call me Chris one more time, and then he fought him on the air. One of my favorite live sports things I've ever seen. Yeah, it reminded me of Chris Everett. Chris Everett was a tennis player.
Yes.
Everett was a all-pro or pretty good starting quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams.
And then the Saints.
Jim Rome, a real irritant of a sports announcer, who has been forever. Ugh. You got in this habit of calling Jim Everett Chris Everett during the show. So he had him on one day live in studio, and he kept calling him Chris. And Jim Everett, who's a 6'4", big dude.
Yes, he is.
Not somebody that you would make fun of.
No.
He said, if you say it to me one more time, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. And this is live on the air. This is live on ESPN.
Yeah.
And he said it one more time with a nice smug look on his face. My favorite thing ever is Jim Everett putting his headphones down and attacking Jim Rome for calling him Chris Everett.
He probably deserved it, though.
Absolutely deserved it. It's my name.
I never did like him anyway.
No, but that's good footage.
So him and his O-line were in the bar enjoying themselves, behaving themselves.
Yeah.
A group of locals wanted to challenge him. And his O-line, as you can imagine, professional NFL offensive linemen.
Professional large protector
people. They're not small guys. Mm-mm. And everybody, because they were talking crap about Jim Everett.
Ah.
And their O-line, even a couple of the backups.
Sure.
All of a sudden, pushed him to the back, Jim Everett to the back.
Yeah.
We got you, boss. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, guys, we cannot. Locals, get the heck out of here, you know? But I almost saw a fight with those.
That would have not. That's not a fight that the locals are going to win.
No. But we convinced them because they're like, hey, guys, you do anything, you guys are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, you're going to make the front page of the La Crosse Tribune tomorrow.
Or ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
But so nothing happened, but that was like intense.
Yeah, I bet.
Because his local guys, mm-hmm, were not small either.
No, you would have to be either real smart or real dumb or real big. To try to fight some offensive linemen in their free time. Yeah.
So that was my start. Plus, meeting Ditka in the same place.
Sure.
And then what was the running back at that time?
The big guy?
Yeah.
Ironhead? Craig Ironhead Hayward?
No. The running back.
Running back, yes. Ironhead Hayward fullback for the Saints.
The one that quit.
Ricky Williams. You got to meet Ricky Williams. That would have been cool.
He was high as hell. But
that was kind of the mark of his entire career, if I remember correctly.
But I remember, because he was wearing shorts, because it's middle of summer.
Sure.
His calves were like the size of bigger than my thighs.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was like, that was crazy. So
that's the one thing when you do run into pro football players, it's so big. Like, I've seen 6'4". You know people who are 6'4".
Yes.
I don't know. And they're 220, and you're like, oh, it's a big dude. All of a sudden, you see a pro football player at 320.
I met
Gilbert Brown. I watched him get out of a car that was custom made for he and his bride. That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
I'm gonna play Mr. Tapia on that one. I was DJing still in the same place because it was the biggest nightclub at the time. And Gilbert Brown, it was his rookie year.
Ah,
he was with another draft. Travis Jervey.
I was just going to say, was it Travis Jervey?
It was.
Oh.
So in this small little DJ booth, I had Gilbert Brown and Travis Jervey behind me.
Wow.
And I was talking to them. And they're young.
Yeah.
Big. I'm not a tall guy. I'm 5 foot, maybe 7, sure, if I'm lucky. I looked up, and I was just like, oh, my God. You really puts it in perspective. I was really young. I mean, I was maybe 22 years old. It puts it in perspective on how big.
Yeah.
I think that solidified my NFL fandom.
Yeah.
Was that going, oh my.
No, shaking Gilbert Brown's hand and realizing he could just, it was like a glove. It was so big. It's unbelievable. Super nice dude. He was a local.
Gilbert Brown was
a coach, right? He was a coach for that very short-lived arena league that came out of
La Crosse. He's done a lot of charitable stuff in La Crosse, too, in that area.
He stayed local.
Kind of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting.
There we go. We just killed another
Nailed
3 minutes.
Way to sport. No, that was all we have. Sorry. That was awesome.
That's it. We're calling stories. We're just talking about what we had.
How much dead air do you want to... No, this is my once a year. This is that nasty, gross, awful thing that I love to talk about. Nathan's hot dog eating contest, man. You recall very vividly.
I'm going to sit back and just
very vividly. You recall this from last year. I was up in arms that Joey Chestnut wasn't allowed to participate because he had a sponsorship deal with a Impossible Dog, with like a vegetarian hot dog company.
Yep.
So Nathan's Hot Dog Company, which sponsors this amazing festivity down to Coney Island every year and has for like 100 years, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, was not going to allow Joey Chestnut, who is the Babe Ruth of his sport. He is the greatest of all time competitive eater. Joey Chestnut wasn't allowed to compete last year. So this year, he came down and it's a whole procession, you know? Like there's a world eating.
I think I saw the highlights of that. No, that was the chicken eating contest.
Chicken wings? Yeah. Did you watch them eat those chicken wings?
That was disgusting as well.
There isn't one of those sports that you watch, and I can't believe I just called it a sport. It's not a sport. Speed eating isn't a sport. It's a contest. But the training that they train for, but some of the numbers attached to like the world record and what they do, but the holy grail, they'll call it, the longest running, the reason that competitive eating league exists, and it's a real league and it really exists, is because of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Sure.
It's been going on down at Coney Island. You got on ESPN about, call it 20 years ago.
Sure.
There was a guy named Kobayashi, came from Japan, and had a technique. And I want everybody to take a second, go into the fridge, go get a hot dog or two, go get a cup of water from the tap, set it next to you, get a bun or three. The method for speed eating a hot dog is one of the most disgusting things that you could pop. Okay, so
they dip it in water?
Bun.
You
got the buns out.
Yep.
You got with the hot dog in them. With two hands, you take the hot dogs out, snap them in half.
Yeah.
Shove those hot dogs in your mouth.
Right there.
Double up. Yep. So you're eating. They said the best ones can eat those two hot dogs in 4 bites. So while you're mowing down on those four.
By the way, we've got a minute left.
Man, we're going to have to go over. I'm sorry.
I'm going to push stop and you still talk.
To
but
the
anyway.
9:30 after us. No, I'm sorry. So you take these buns, and at the same time that you're chewing down these hot dogs, two of them at a time, you dunk the buns in the water. And you are eating
the soggiest,
soggy bun water hot dogs. So over and over for 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes. If anybody out here can eat more than two hot dogs with that method, you're better than I. Because I tried it. My kids were disgusted.
I can imagine.
I was a little grossed.
They're never going to eat hot dogs again.
They shouldn't. So like 70 times over and over and over with that method is just amazing to watch. Guys, I hate to say it, this was the best show ever. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.